Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Writers on Film, the only podcast dedicated to books on cinema. Hi everybody and welcome to Writers on Film. Today I'm going to be talking to a series of writers and critics mainly who are attending the Karlo Vivari Film Festival in the Czech Republic, about an hour and a half away from Prague. It's a beautiful spa town, which I think I talk about a little bit during the podcast. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to a mix of critics and hopefully give you a feel for the festival and hear about the sort of films that they've been watching. And to kick us off, we have Marcus Lestate, who's a Slovenian film journalist. And as you can hear from the friends who are surrounding him and me, including Damon Wise and Marina Richter, the plight of a podcaster is not an easy one. There's some hostility out there for the poor souls who undergo this thankless task.
Exactly.
Podcast be gone.
Exactly.
Holy water.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, my name's Sam Wise. I'm here to talk.
I need a podcast on how to get rid of the podcast.
This is all going in the podcast.
It's okay. Just go for it if I can help the course.
So, as you can see, I saw 4 movies today and 1 more last night.
Okay. Wow, you saw loads. Okay, so what was your favorite of the 4?
So far, I would say Fallen Leaves by Kauris Makis so far, but I was not completely impressed by it. I mean, it's a classic Kauris Makis.
Yeah, and it was in Cannes as well, so let's talk about one of the others. Sweet East was in Cannes as well. What did you think of Sweet East?
It's trippy, but it's it's also America, you know? It's we saw that kind of films at film festivals numerous times. It's not a standout in that department, but it's okay. I mean, the actresses.
What's the name of the director? Do you remember? Because he's a cinematographer, sort of debuting as a director.
Yeah, Sean Price Williams, something like that.
Yeah, Sean Price Williams, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. It's nicely shot, obviously. The cast is interesting, mostly non-professionals.
Except for, what's the name of that guy, Simon, what's his face, from Red Rocket?
Yeah.
He's great. Simon Rex.
Yeah.
He's great.
The former porn guy.
Yeah.
It's okay, but as I said, it's the whole wave of, modern American indies, trying to expose the inside of the society.
There's always that thing of surrealism being used as a way of not having to write a story.
Not really harsh. Not that harsh. I mean, like, it's there is a story to it, and it's basically like a road movie in chapters, like of adventure. There is a little bit of a literary feel to it. I mean, like, it's our heroine's journey through, like, growing up. It starts with the field trip with school, and then goes on as she explores the layers of society. Sometimes by her wish, sometimes for her sense of adventure. I don't know, like...
Recommended?
It's a thing to see, but yeah, if you miss it.
That should go on the poster. A thing to see, but if you miss it...
No biggie, I mean...
Yeah. Okay, good. Last one, The Edge of the Blade.
The Edge of the Blade, I mean, like, it's a classical... classically styled film. It's by Vincent Perez, who is actually an actor, so, and he tries to be a filmmaker and scriptwriter. In his movies, he always has like an interesting thing to talk about, but he is not eloquent in film language to do it. So it's pretty like classically directed.
It means boring.
It
means boring. Just translating for you. Classically directed equals a bit dull.
Equals a bit dull and done by assistant director. But it's like a costume drama about dueling and like the sense of honor in men, and also within women who are fighting their battles, because it's set in late 19th century and like the birth of feminism, and like one of the probably the most interesting character is a woman who fights for equality.
Okay, recommended then.
Also,
no biggie if you miss it.
No biggie if you miss it. It will probably end up on TV in some like Sunday afternoon slot.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Marco. Yeah. So I'm here with Marina Richter. Marina, what are your thoughts on the film festival so far? Okay, today is the 30th of June 2023, and I am walking home after the first evening of the opening ceremony of the Karlovy Vary, there you go, that's how you pronounce it, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. And I'm going to be talking to some people at the festival who have either written books, or they're film writers and critics, or maybe some creative people as well, some film directors. But we'll be taking in the whole ambience of the place. If you don't know Karlovy Vary, you kind of probably do without knowing it, actually, because this small Czech town, about an hour and a half from Prague, is as featured as the inspiration for Wes Anderson's Grand Budapest Hotel, and is also featured in the first James Bond of Daniel Craig's era, Casino Royale. It's actually the hotel at the end of my street is the Casino Royale itself, and this is where he meets Mattis, his friend played by Giancarlo Giannini, brilliant actor. So, as you can hear, there's plenty of nightlife going on, and the opening ceremony was attended by the likes of Alicia Vikander and Russell Crowe, who's receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. Although in his acceptance speech he was quite funny in that he said he didn't even know this place existed, which was not exactly the best thing to say. when you're getting a prize from a festival. But he was very complimentary about the place afterwards. As you will be when a festival awards you with something nice. He's also played at the opening party with his band, which is his kind of one of the things that he does. And it's kind of, I don't really know how to describe it for you. It's pub rock, essentially. It's a little bit better than the average pub rock band. Oh. Thank you. I was struggling to find my room key. Thank you very much. So. There we go. So I'm back in the hotel room now. Staying at a beautiful hotel called the Palatin, and it's a real old style, and it's a sort of bohemian rhapsody about the whole place. Wonderful architecture around here. Everything's sort of baroque, twisty and curly, like somebody has built buildings the way other people would design doilies. So yeah, Russell Crowe and his band are playing still. I stayed to hear him murder a version of a Leonard Cohen song, and then could handle it no longer, I'm afraid, and fled. But I did meet some fun people, and I shall be interviewing some of them later on in the festival. Tomorrow I'll be popping in to see a film at 8:30 in the morning, so I'm going to get my rest, and I shall pick this up tomorrow.
Okay, so now I'm talking to Wendy Ide, who is a writer for Screen Magazine, and she's also written for the, or writes for The Observer, I should say, is one of my favourite critics, and so I love talking to her about film. She influences me very much, not only in her the intelligence and wit of her writing and her wonderful taste, but also in the way she is... kind of advised me throughout my career. So someone I really appreciate, and someone I'm really happy to have on the podcast. We're going to be talking about The Girls Are All Right, which is a Spanish film, Las Chicas Están Bien, which is written and directed by Ixaso Arana. It's her debut film. It stars Arana as well as Barbara Lenny, Irene Escola, Itzia Manero, and Helena Esquero. Okay, so I just wanted to get those details in before our conversation because, as you can hear at the very beginning, we can't remember any of the names because this is a film by some filmmakers who we are unfamiliar with.
Irene Escola are actually quite well known, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And the director is Ixaso.
I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But what a great line. I'm just going to get my notes and look at it.
Yeah.
About cinema, films being a letter to the future.
I noticed you had your pen out at that point.
Isn't that a great line? And I think that, you know, that is one of the key things in this film about communicating with the past and the future and that kind of through line of how art and storytelling connects us.
It's so weird because it's such a summery film, and it felt and the idea of summeriness and friendship and everything, there's a feeling of sort of lightness to it, and yet it went into such deep territory, and without ever forsaking its summeriness. It wasn't like, say, with a Peter's Friends or a Big Chill sort of film or sort of hanging out film, you'd get into the deep stuff and you'd suddenly have a moment where everyone got very tearful, and it would be like a break, and then they'd go back to it. With this, it just all floated along on this very, on the similar sort of feeling,
which I think actually made it more powerful. I mean, the moment where one of the younger actresses, I'm just going to check her name, the one who lost her mother when she was 12, and that moment when she, her name is Itzia Manero, when she makes that recording to her mother, that letter to her mother, now that, you know, could have been, as you say, handled with a real kind of sledgehammer, but it, you know, she sheds maybe one tear, but that makes it so much more powerful. You know, there's a little bit of a wobble in her voice when she's recording the message, but it was handled with real grace.
Yeah, there was a real sense of death, because death was in there,
yeah,
but that it was being incorporated into life. It was a part of life.
Yeah.
And the stuff that was sort of the metafictional stuff, so just a basic story without spoiling anything, is that there are four actresses and a writer-director rehearsing a play or a film. It's not quite sure, but the film is itself a self-conscious sort of essay on this rehearsal. In a summer house in the countryside in Spain. And the actresses are sort of different experiences, and you get the feeling different fame, that the younger actresses are really happy to be there.
Yeah.
One of the actresses is pregnant, so they're all also at different stages of life a little bit there. Yeah. And in the house as well, and I thought this was one of the most beautiful touches, there's a sort of an old grandmother and her granddaughter, so you have also the bookended by these two generations, and the little kid Juliet was beautiful and wonderful.
She was great. But I thought the grandmother was a phenomenal presence as well. Just that one scene when she talks to Barbara Lenny, who is the actress who's pregnant, who is really pregnant in the film. And she very emphatically says, it's a girl, she'll be strong and brave. And you know, I thought that was a terrific scene.
She must have an important name.
She must have an important name.
Yeah,
Which is great.
Because a couple of points, people mention, the women mention feminism, or they are feminists, or they've done something. And it doesn't really go heavily into that, but just that female community, it's almost, again, it's kind of so graceful how the women are so comfortable with their bodies and with each other's bodies. And I mean, I watched that, and I know it's a little bit of a we have so many other advantages, it seems stupid to complain about it, but
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine a bunch of men having that sort of camaraderie or physical comfort
That's one of the things that I wrote down right at the very beginning, is it's a very tactile kind of filmmaking, a very tactile kind of connection that we're seeing, and it is, you know, a very specifically female gaze and a female experience, which I loved. I mean, very different films, but you know, I was thinking about women talking and just the way of kind of exchange of ideas and that kind of very giving way of communicating that we see in this film and in that one as well. Her debate is, it's not about one person shouting, which can be the case, I think, in the more male iteration of that kind of scenario, but it's about generosity and exchange and giving.
And there were so many things done with the camera and with cinema generally, like the choice of shots, or some beautifully still shots where things were just happening in front of the camera rather than... And then there were other shots where they were rehearsing and they'd kind of use fades. And so they'd use little things. And I also love the way they use the village and the landscape and the river and the moon as sort of elemental things, which almost became theatrical in themselves, even though they were sort of really existing.
No, well, I wonder how much of that was actually written and how much of this is improvised. It's a really interesting film because you do get the sense that it is growing as we see it, and how much of it was actually, improvised on, there in front of the camera. That scene, for example, when Barbara Lenny has to, I think it's a letter that she's memorized. Her character has a brother, so she then has to sort of read a letter, and she decides to do it to camera. And suddenly, we become very aware that this is a film, and they're aware of a film. We're not, it draws us into the whole experience in an interesting way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite a bold film in a way.
It is. It's willing to risk breaking those moments and breaking the whole film.
Yeah.
But it's done with such grace and such absolute confidence and intelligence that it doesn't ever. And the cinematography with the, it reminded me, there's a Louis Malle film about, I can't remember the title now, but everyone will know it. I think it's something Milieu in May or something like that.
Mm.
And it's just got that motes of dust in sunlight feel. And, there's a moment where there's a shot where they look down from the house and that everybody's having breakfast outside through the trees. You're looking down through a window through the trees to this tableau. And it's just gorgeous. And also you have a little bit of back in there, and you have sort of the chapters, if you like, of the film. And this is divided by, I don't know, it's like a sort of an old-fashioned picture book sort of...
It looks either like an I was trying to work out whether it's fabric, because it was very textured.
Mm.
So it looked like either it was scenes of bucolic bliss or printed on fabric, or maybe some kind of canvas or something. But lovely... possibly something could have been quite twee in other hands, but there's a sort of self-awareness that they get away with it very well, I thought.
Wow, what a film to start with.
Yeah, great start for the festival.
Brilliant. And just, Wendy, just your experience of Carlo Vivari as a, you've been here in the past. This is my first time.
Yeah, I mean, I have not been for a very long time, and I now immediately back here and remembering why I love it.
Mm.
And it's always been to me a very sort of egalitarian festival, isn't it? It's great for us as, delegates, members of the press, but what's lovely about this festival is it also has this whole kind of almost like a music festival feel. There's a tent village where young people will come and camp out in fairly kind of rudimentary conditions, but they do it because they get to watch cinema. And I think I hope they still have the system where they can queue and you get a very cheap sort of accreditation and you can get in at the last minute for free. So it kind of really opens up cinema to everybody, whatever their kind of economic situation. So I've always liked that about this festival. Plus, it's a really good programme, great overview of what's good in current cinema.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks absolutely great. I'm really excited about it. And of course, we got to see Russell Crowe yesterday at the concert.
Well, now we can say we've done that. So.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have to do it again.
Yeah, we don't have to do that again.
He was kind of like dad rock.
But he really was enjoying himself.
He loved himself. So it was. It felt churlish to criticise. It was like, he's enjoying himself.
Absolutely.
We don't all have to.
I thought the band were pretty slick as well.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's, obviously there's some money involved. But.
I think there is, isn't there?
Brilliant.
Yeah, go Russell.
Excellent. That's groovy.
Cool, okay.
Now I'm talking to Lee Singer and Hugo Mertzeyal. Hugo is a Dutch journalist. He writes for the Dutch newspaper. And Lee writes for Sight and Sound, amongst many other publications. And he's a great video editor. His work's on some wonderful... You can find his work, Lee Singer, LeighSinger, on the internets.
Sorry, go.
Oh, are we recording it? Can I be on Writers on Film?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I haven't prepared or anything.
I know.
Oh, no, you have to... You can't just throw.
You have to write a book right now.
Just throw that.
No, look, Lee, you're an expert on cinema.
I'm going to say it like that. Not now, though. I'll do it. I'm going to get a feature or anything.
Yeah, they're coming.
Oh, they come?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's the power of the red seats.
Wow. Fancy stuff, man.
Yeah. At least I think.
Maracuja.
Yeah. So what was that film called? I don't even understand what it was called.
The Czech title.
Yeah, it's just only a Czech title, I think.
No, it's got something else, but it's A Sensitive Person.
Yeah, because he says... Oh, no, wait a minute. There was another film yesterday where they were saying...
Chip Slovak.
Translation? Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was called A Sensitive Person.
There's a film I was watching yesterday where someone said, okay. It's a quote from It Melts, I saw last night, and someone says, hi. Cappuccino?
Yes.
Americano for me.
Americano?
Yes.
Do you do like soy milk or oat milk?
I think it's just normal milk.
Just normal milk. Okay, just an espresso.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, A Sensitive Person, we have just walked out of a major Czech film in competition. Lee Singer, why did you walk out? Because it was uncoordinated. Me and Hugo were coordinated because we were sitting next to each other.
Not on the record.
Ah, okay. All right. That's interesting. Him not being on the record is in itself a statement, though. Yeah. Oh, you're reviewing it? No, you're not. So you're going to review a film you've only watched half of? Less than half of? No, of course not. Listeners, he is... he's being remarkably shy. Okay. What have you seen?
I saw a film called Empty Nets this morning.
Oh yeah, tell us about that, because I didn't see that.
I liked it. It was basically a drama set in Iran and a young couple who are struggling to be together, but the guy has no money. She's from quite a wealthy family. He loses his job and he starts to work for this very sort of corrupt fishing merchant guy and starts to get involved with some of the dubious side hustles that guy has. And it's fairly traditional sort of social realism, but it's just nicely done, well acted, quite gripping. Ending maybe could be a bit stronger, but you really buy into their struggle.
Okay.
The young couple.
Okay, it sounds like something I won't necessarily be running after, but if it came across my transom.
Your transom?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I've never heard that phrase. It's a popular saying round our way.
I've never heard it either.
I don't even know what it means.
Wait a second. Google it, because I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I don't want to chance my arm. Hugo, what have you seen that's good?
Master and Commander.
Oh, tell us about it, because I wanted to go and see that.
Introduced by a top 10 film of all time for certain people around.
It was in my Sight and Sound top 10. Yeah,
it was fantastic. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I was very intrigued to see it again because it also got a regained popularity online. I feel like it's kind of a memeified film almost, or kind of like rehyped in a way that Miami Vice maybe also is, that it just becomes this iconic thing, especially the opening cards, you know, it's 1802, I guess. Napoleon is ruler of the world, oceans are now battlefields, just like immediately that is just so utterly iconic. I was kind of mostly taken aback by, more quiet moments.
It's a film about friendship as well, which I find really interesting.
But those just kind of like the moments of waiting or just things appearing in the mist and stuff, and especially the 35mm print was good but not pristine, and it actually maybe added something with the uncertainty of sight and stuff. So it was, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also very much had to laugh of Russell Crowe's introduction before the film. That was...
Did he actually direct it? Did it finally come out that he actually made the film? Peter Weir was just sort of hanging on.
No, he was very respectful, actually. In, like, towards the other talents of the film, he was like, "Ah, oh, Peter Weir, he's like, he did such a great job, and my co-actors were so nice.
Under my instructions."
Yes.
He wanted to call it Splashy Splashy Bang Bang, but I said, no, Peter. I think we should keep the original title of the novel.
No, he was like, he was pretty generous in his anecdotal kind of, you know, he mentioned as well that he had to learn the violin for the part as well, and that, that was very hard.
And did that lead him on to talking about his...
No, it didn't.
Didn't even do. But he said, "There's other musicians in the room, I presume," and it was kind of funny. That was great. It was a great screening, and it's going to be hard for a festival to beat that, you know. It's just what, like, that's often the case with the classics.
I've never seen someone with such a heartfelt appreciation for music, so mismatched with his own ability to play music. Then the last time I saw it was watching Amadeus and the Emperor, who is a patron of Mozart, and sits
too many notes
and play, yeah, exactly, and sits and tries to play Salieri's theme while Mozart enters the room.
You know that Mozart's son's grave is here in Carlo Vivaldi.
His son's grave?
Yeah, I just stumbled upon it yesterday. I was taking a long hike. I always go to, like, Karl Marx's statue as well and some other things.
Oh, right.
And then I just ran into a grave.
Well, there was a pavement plaque of Mozart lived here between this year and that
year.
Yeah,
and I think his son passed away here.
Oh, wow.
So I'm suddenly standing in front of a grave of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Is his son famous for Is his son famous for anything in particular?
I have no idea, but I was just kind of missed, because at first I was like, no, it can't be, like, there's something like half. But apparently it's his son and not the OG, not the original.
Because of Russell Crowe Jr., I'm not sure of his name, were performed with his father and was by far one of the more criticised elements of the act. Actually made his... Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I heard that his son was also playing in it. Yeah. It's like a 9 or 10 piece band or something.
Yeah, and they've changed name, because it used to be called sort of 30-odd foot of grunt, and now it's called
Indoor Garden Party.
Which is... Of names, it sounds like something the League of Gentlemen would have a fictional band.
Absolutely.
Like Legs Akimbo.
It's a spoof name.
Yeah,
it's a spoof name. Can't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a spoof.
Black and Decker DIY shop.
Yeah.
What are you... Oh, someone's just been shot. What are you looking forward to in the festival? Because today it's Sunday the 2nd of July.
Yes.
So we've only really had 2 full days of the festival. Or 1 full day of the festival,
I'm trying to catch some of the, you know, the Japanese retrospective films, but I tried to get a ticket for Toys and Giants today, and it's already sold out. So apparently it's pretty popular.
Name of the director is Miss...
I have that.
Oh. Don't worry, this will all be kept in.
Yasuzo Masumura.
Yeah, right.
Masumura.
And they all seem to, like, they all sound pretty great, but maybe I should get the tickets a bit more in advance, because today I was like, I'll just make my planning in the morning and I will reserve some tickets, and then it's already sold out. So they're doing a good job with the retrospective stuff, apparently, that they're, like, so popular.
Yeah, I'm going to see a couple tomorrow.
Nice. One thing I've noticed about this festival is I haven't yet been to an empty screening or a half full screening. Yeah. Everything's packed.
Yesterday I was, like, at the shorts film program of the experimental film program, and it's a packed hall. And for an experimental sidebar of a festival, that's pretty impressive. So I was like, tomorrow a Dutch friend of mine, he's a film director, is coming to Carlo Vivari to present his film in the second shorts program of this experimental section. So I'm mostly looking forward to that.
What's his name?
His name is Bram Ruiter. This film is called Here and Elsewhere, I think.
Have you already seen it?
Yeah, I've already seen it.
And it's amazing.
It's good. Yes.
Oh, interesting. Amazing. So I'm running that through the friendship filter.
Yeah. No. It's like, I like the film a lot, and I love Blum's work, but to call a thing amazing would be, you know...
Master and Commander is amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a quite understated 10-minute experimental short. I'm not sure if amazing is the right way to describe it, you know?
Fair enough, fair enough. Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Hugo and Lee, and hopefully we'll chat later on in the festival.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
Are you all to the end?
No, I'm only here till Tuesday.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.